Hello, this is Internet Governance Explained. We are Chenxi Lu and Alex Wagner, and today we're going to talk about security in the realm of messenger apps. Our guest today, Jan Foto, doctoral researcher at the Weizenbaum Institute. He's an expert in computer engineering, computer science, and applied sociology.
So Jan, when we were doing research for this podcast, we struggled to define what secure means in the realm of messenger apps. Are we talking about the infrastructure, end-to-end encryption? Also, secure from whom? Governments? Companies who own the apps?
That's a very good question. I think your question implies the definition of what we call a security, a threat model, that you define, okay, what can go wrong? Who can cause it? And what are the remedies that I can apply? The internet as a whole is an insecure infrastructure that you don't have control over where your data is going through. If we communicate from Germany to China, our data may go through Russia, it may go through Iran, it may go from somewhere that we might deem as adversarial to what we are doing. So, but this is also the basic concept of the internet. So internet is, in that sense, insecure, and everyone can be considered as an adversary. You mentioned end-to-end encryption. This is exactly what the basic idea of internet was. It was, let's keep the infrastructure simple. It doesn't do anything. Everything can go wrong. Anything that you need, just put it in your application logic. So the messenger app said, okay, I need confidentiality. How can I do it? I do end-to-end encryption. What it means is there's a set of keys that are used to encrypt our messages. I have my own set of keys, you have your own set of keys, no one else, and only we can encrypt and decrypt messages that we are exchanging. And the provider of the messenger app is not going to have access to our keys, so they cannot read our messages. So this is the basic idea. The infrastructure, the internet as a whole, insecure. The messenger app, secure, because they have this cryptographic protocols on the top that no one in the middle can break that. Then we go to a point that you mentioned, from whom, from what, which is actually orthogonal to what we discussed up to now. The simplest example would be your phone doesn't have a passcode, so everyone can unlock it. The rest then doesn't matter if you have end-to-end encryption, if the internet is secure or not. If someone has direct access to your hardware, then everything else is insecure. So we are adding another layer that you have to take care of. So, and it also goes back to governments. For example, when we were talking about Signal or WhatsApp, which are located in the States, you don't have a federal privacy law. And then you have laws and rules that enable the government to access data that you have stored on your infrastructure. You would say, okay, it's end-to-end encrypted, it's secure, and even if they have access to those information, they can't do anything with it. But every security expert or anyone who's in cryptography would say they can't do anything with it yet. It's just a question of time. As we move forward, there are always new technologies. Quantum computing is breaking cryptography that we thought it's unbreakable for the end of humanity, but it's not the case. So if I have to summarize that all together, if you see a messenger app as not just a technical system, but as a socio-technical system which spans over companies, governments, and so on and so forth, the question of security becomes multidimensional, and you have to make sure what is important for you, what do you want to reach, what do you want to have, and then decide on the trade-offs. I use Signal. I know it's located in the States, but I sure hope that the cryptographic protocols that they're using is quantum safe, and I would be at least safe for the next 10, 20 years. That would be my answer of my non-answer to your question of what is secure in the realm of messenger apps.
All right, thanks. Now, let's look at the recent update in WhatsApp as an example. WhatsApp has introduced a new update which will allow the app to share commercial user data with businesses and third-party providers that use Facebook and other Facebook-owned platforms for marketing purposes. While this might not be the case for users in the EU and the UK, what does this indicate for the user privacy of the apps in other parts of the world? Is it less safe?
That's a very good question. I wouldn't say it's less safe, because if we go back to our definition, and if you say they provide you confidentiality, they provide you service availability, they provide you integrity, you're safe, you're secure. But as I also mentioned that before, it's not about that. It's about all the other data that don't fall into this category of security. You mentioned at some point privacy. Privacy is something that everyone talks about, but no one really can tell you what exactly it is. I listed at some point for one of my papers four definitions of privacy and privacy by design, just to find out what they mean. They have interesting terms such as collection limitations, specific processing, or openness, individual practices. Everyone, the EU had one, the OECD has a privacy guideline, the FTC has one, and so on and so forth. But the point is, how is it manifested in a specific technical application? What does, I don't know, from OECD privacy guidelines, what does data quality mean? What do they mean with openness? So I would say this question is very hard to answer, and it also comes back to your expectations. Facebook, the whole Facebook ecosystem, which is built upon advertising and selling private information, yes, you are lost. The app is not safe anymore if you consider the privacy aspects that I mentioned. But the security aspects might be as well as safe as Signal. And to go back to one part of the questions, that it doesn't really apply to the Europeans and it's more relevant for others. It was interesting enough for me to see that most of my German friends migrated, because I don't have WhatsApp, so I can see if they migrate to Signal, I get a message. Most of my European friends moved to Signal, but none of my American friends. It was something like, okay, fair enough, it's gonna affect you in some way, but you don't care. So it's a really hard question to answer. It's something that I would say, if you're already in the ecosystem of Google and Facebooks of this world, then nothing really changes for you. they just told you this time that they're going to do this. Yeah.
Can we assume that other platforms will follow in a similar fashion?
I would say no. That's a very good question. But if you think about it, in the information technology and in computer sciences in the broader sense, there has always been communities and services that has been provided for free. The question is, okay, if you want to have a system that scales up millions of users, you cannot do it in your basement. So fair enough, you need money. But take a look at Wikipedia. They just became like 20 years old and they get like their funding from somewhere, and it works like free for everyone. And it's not a dangerous place to be, okay, except, I don't know, being a toxic place to interact with people. But when it comes to security or privacy, it's not dangerous in that sense. So if you look at Signal, it's a nonprofit organization and they have their sponsors. Of course, it's a question, is it okay that they're based in the States? I wouldn't say that Signal would follow suit and they would say, we're going to sell your data for money, because that's not what they do. So I would say, no, not necessarily other apps would follow that.
Thank you. This also takes us to our third question, and there might be some overlap, so bear with me. So since the services provided by these messenger apps are for free, such as here we're looking at WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Telegram, Signal, is it too naive to expect no trade-off for users?
I have a paranoid answer and a non-paranoid answer. I'm going to take Signal and Telegram. Signal, for me, from the very beginning, what they did was they were very transparent. What they did is they published their code. You can run your own server. It's really hard to configure, but you could if you wanted to. You can audit the code, because one misunderstanding is if the source code is open and everyone can take a look, then it should be secure and nothing can go wrong. If you think about the Heartbleed incident many years ago, it was a bug in OpenSSL, which is being used as a basis for a lot of cryptographic operations. And the project is open source. And One small bug ruined the whole internet for everyone. We were all forced to change our passwords and so on and so forth. So what I'm getting at is being transparent is also not necessarily enough, but it's an indication that they are willing to show you that they are not doing anything wrong. They use the standard cryptographic algorithms. This is something that in the security area, one thing that they always tell you is don't roll up your own algorithms and your protocols because you're not going to make it. They followed a path that was really transparent. It was easy to understand. And they had like one of the most valuable recommendations from Snowden. So at some point you say, okay, they are doing it right. The people that I respect, people who are doing cryptography, people who are being in whistleblowing business, they say it's good. Now compare that with Telegram. Both are free. So I'm trying to get at your question, what are the trade-offs? If you look at Telegram, they have their own cryptographic protocol that not everyone agreed that it's a good idea to have their own homebrew protocols. They say that we have end-to-end encryption, which they have, but not by default. You have to start secret chats. You can know that, just do this. Install Telegram on one phone, send messages, go migrate to another phone, and you see that your messages are there. So it's a sign that it's not end-to-end encryption. And then some other indicators that you see, they are doing something. They have nice stickers and whatnot, but it doesn't make sense why they are doing this. So for me, it was like, okay, Signal, it's okay. I don't expect any trade-offs. There are people who believe in their projects and they're doing that. But for Telegram, I'm still not sure if there is anything because, I don't know, they're also making money and maybe they have like their enterprise versions that they sell, but it always has a bad taste in your mouth if you think about it. So I would say there are not necessarily any trade-offs for users if something is free, but you have to be cautious about what you're using.
Speaking of being cautious, what about messenger apps for which the users have to pay, such as Threema? Do these apps promise more security on the basis of payment, as they have less incentives to profit off user data?
They also, I think a couple of weeks or a month ago, they open sourced their whole application. I'm not sure about the servers, but they open sourced the mobile application, so you can go through that. The only way that you can say if something is secure is either you go through the code and you make sure that there are no mistakes there, which is not something that, I don't know, normal people can do. Not even cryptographers can just read the code and get inside the matrix and see if it's safe. Either you go through the code or you let a company which is an expert in this field to audit your code. If none of them is there, then you cannot say that something is more secure. Apps like Threema, they say, you know what, we have very strong and restrictive privacy laws in Switzerland. Our servers are located here. So you can make sure that at least if someone has access to our server room, maybe they wouldn't be able to read your message, whatever. But you wouldn't say that it's a more secure app than Signal, because you don't know if there are good cryptographers that they're working there. So you pay the money for the service that they're providing, which is a good thing in any case, but it does not necessarily mean that they are more secure in strict terms.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Thank you. This also then leads us to our next question. Threema being not free, so it's a paid per use platform or app, does not mean that it's necessarily safer than Telegram. So can we sort of imply that privacy protection is solely a marketing strategy?
I think we have to get back to one of the topics that we discussed. Privacy is not well defined. Privacy is not binary. You cannot have or have not privacy. So if you remember that, to some extent, privacy is a marketing strategy, to some extent. Nonetheless, if you really know what you expect or what you understand under privacy, you can verify if they follow those policies or not.
there's a shoe brand in the States, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Toms. And they had a campaign. They said, if you buy a pair of shoes, then we donate a pair of shoes to someone. And the idea was, if you consume, you're consuming. The whole idea of capitalism is giving you a good feeling that you're doing good. Consuming, you're wasting resources, but at the same time, you're doing something good for everyone. The question if privacy is a marketing strategy reminds me of exactly this strategy. Like, you're using a piece of software that you have absolutely no idea of what it does. It asks you for all kinds of permissions and you say, okay, but you're doing good because the bad government is watching you and you are protecting yourself. So I don't want to be too pessimistic. I think it's an important issue to discuss, but most important subject maybe for oneself to understand what the privacy means and how this exactly work and how does this affect their life, their everyday life. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your insights. This was our episode of Internet Governance Explained. Thanks for listening. We hope this has helped you understand questions surrounding the security of messenger apps in some way. Don't forget to check out the other episodes. You can find us on all main podcast platforms.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.